The weak values is pretty old, but it seems that still well, one can find more understanding and more features of it. In fact, due to maybe a recent attack, I was thinking more about this thing, and it brought me stronger to a view which I was tending for a long time. And to bolster my view, I went to Munich and asked people to make some experiment to kind of to prove or to maybe to demonstrate, because it's really quantum mechanics, so we don't do anything special. So there is a number of collaborators. There are two students from Tel Aviv who helped me analyze some formulas, and there is a group of Harald Weitwurter who performed the experiment. So I want to understand the meaning of weak value. So I will start with talking what the value of the observable, how we can understand in different frameworks, what it might be. I will discuss a little this weak value controversy, which kind of brought me to go more deeper maybe into weak value. I will talk about weak value, how it was originally presented as the outcome of weak measurements. And then I will try to persuade you that it's really a property of a single particle or a single system. And I will show the experimental results, which kind of demonstrate the point which I want to make. So what we might mean a variable, we have observable. It's come from classical mechanics, when you have classical physics, when you have classical observables. In classical physics, observables are clear as they have different values. Whatever, you know, momentum, velocity, electric field, no question about if you have observable, then every moment we might not know it, but it is known for somebody, it's definite. In quantum mechanics, we have similar situation. We have when we have a quantum state and we have observable, and this quantum state is eigenstate of this observable, so we have eigenvalue, and this eigenvalue from my point of view works as if it's classical, it's definite. There is no conceptual difference between the classical and classical value and quantum value in case it is an eigenvalue. For me, we have system, we have observable, and the meaning of observable are mainly what it does to other system. If I have electric or gravitational field here, what acceleration will happen here when I'll put some object here? Sometimes we use for variables the meaning for variable itself. What is velocity? Velocity is relevant how fast it, where it will be later. Mainly, I would like to consider the meaning of observable is how the system interacts with other systems. So in this case, we have classical or quantum eigenstate. The interaction will be the same. Now, I really believe that the whole story is a wave function. And so we may, if we have a pure wave function, so from my point of view, the system is defined completely. Let's say we have a wave function psi, which is not an eigenstate of my observable. I still can write this expression. It's definite expression. From my point of view, there is a reality for psi. So there is a well-defined number for this observable C. However, I think in real life, in our world, it's really, we don't have this number. If I want to try to find to see how this we have some interaction of my system's mother system. Maybe the simplest case, just measuring device. If we want to measure C, so of course we have coupling to C. Every time we're trying to find C, we'll find some eigenvalue. We will find one of the eigenvalues of C, and we'll never find directly expectation value, or this expression. So this expression does has meaning if we'll have an ensemble, we'll make many experiments, we'll get Ck with different probabilities given by alpha k square, and in the end, we can find this expectation value. So, although this number is well defined for psi, I think there is a good reason to say that C, expectation value, the name expectation value, it is statistical property. It's not kind of a real, there is no much meaning to, there is to associate it with one system, the meaning that if we'll have an ensemble and if we'll measure, this is kind of statistical. This number does not have meaning by itself, only as a statistical average. Now we are talking about weak value. Weak value, we have a system pre-selected in state psi and then post-selected in another state. And there is this expression, which we call weak value. And the question, what is the type of meaning? My question is it really statistical like expectation value, or it's more like eigenvalue? And this is the question which I would like to answer in this talk. So this is the first paper where it appeared, and here we put measuring procedure for pre-selected and post-selected ensembles defines a new kind of value for a quantum variable which we call the weak value. So it was defined for ensembles. Now I was asked to write some entry to some compendium. It was, I think, 2009, and I put something a little different. Weak value is a description of an effective interaction. I don't talk here about ensembles. So even here, I would prefer to view it as kind of the property of a single system. When we look on the literature, even positive literature, proponents of weak value, the standard approach, it's conditioned average of generalized observable eigenvalues. I think it went really to a wrong direction. Weak value is considered harmful. In fact, the editor who didn't let me to put a comment on it, but he said that I should be thankful for him because he changed the name to this name. In this attack on weak values, we show by using statistically rigorous arguments. So if the weak value is really property of a single system, it's all not relevant. In fact, they went more and got another PRL with distinction, in which weak values are not inherently quantum, but rather a purely statistical feature of pre- and post-selected, post-selection with disturbance. And it had a significant impact. Yeah, we see, are weak values quantum after all? A breakthrough lost in coin toss. So, weak value as an outcome of a weak measurement. That's how it started. First, let me just weak measurement. Weak measurement are really standard von Neumann measurement when we make it in interaction weak. So this is a standard von Neumann measurement. We have a well-defined pointer. We have a coupling of this kind. You want to measure C, and when we make a weak during the coupling, if we have some superposition, Then our pointer moves to different places. If it's an eigenvalue, it will move just as is to one of the to this eigenvalue. But if it's a proposition, we'll get this entangled state between measuring device and our pointer. There is a collapse, so there is a splitting of words, which I prefer to talk, but it's simpler to talk maybe using the collapse. In our world, we see a collapse. We collapse on measuring of the reading of measuring device. The measuring device wasn't here, it cannot be. A measuring device something big and macroscopic, after it's amplified, it cannot be in different places, so it will be in one. In the moment this is specified, we also specify collapse of our system. And so the reading of every time we make reading of the device, it may be one of the eigenvalues. This will be eigenvalue C2. Probability of this is given by the amplitude square. And if we repeat it many, many times, we can find this weighted average. Oops. We can find this weighted average, which is this expectation value. And every time we'll get something different. On a large ensemble, we can find the expectation value. So what is weak measurement? Weak measurement, the same story. The only thing, we want to do it weak. We don't want to disturb our system. Now, this is a Hamiltonian. And when pointer is well localized, P is very uncertain, that's very big. So this makes this Hamiltonian very strong. So it disturbs our system. In weak measurement, we want it small. So how we make it small? First of all, make it around zero. And the uncertainty should be small. It's not enough that the expectation value is zero, but also uncertainty small. Now, unfortunately, this means we cannot start with initial pointer pointed in zero. Our pointer can be only on average in zero, but otherwise it should be, if delta p is small, delta q is large. But a part of this, the physics is the same, and when we make coupling to the same system, the same initial state, we have this motion of our distribution, of our wave function, depending on the eigenvalue of our system. And this is after the interaction, we get really entangled superposition of this pointer pointer variable. Now we make post-selection. So this entanglement between system and measuring device, which is this kind of Gaussian distribution shifted. We make post-selection, we'll get some superposition of this Gaussian. This superposition, it's not sum of the distribution, superposition. Superposition can get kind of strange result. In this, what's interesting is that it gets some very well-defined result. We'll get, again, wide distribution, but the center sits in exactly around the weak value. So the weak value can be found, again, by experiment. When we make an experiment, every time we'll get one of the reading, maybe here, or the Q, maybe here. The average, we will find the average in the end, the center of the distribution. Center of the distribution of a pointer is our weak value. So I can compare. Oh, I can do, in fact, the same. Maybe it's interesting to do the same without post-selection. If I don't do post-selection, I start with this state. This is entangled superposition. And in fact, if I want to look now on my pointer, it's just average of this distribution. Average of this distribution, in fact, will sit in expectation value. So one of the ways to measure expectation value, maybe not to use the standard von Neumann measurement with good pointers, we can do our weak measurement and find weak values very nicely. Again, the center of the distribution. So it looks like there is a similarity. Again, this is possible reading of a pointer. The average of the will give us expectation value. If we post select on our system, it will give us weak value. To summarize, this in the we get the weak value as an average reading of a pointer after the post selection, conditional post selection. If we don't do post selection, we get expectation value. So I think it's natural when it's mostly presented that weak value is a conditional expectation value. But I don't want to put it like this. And in fact, when I wrote again, no, not published a comment on the second paper, I put it, the weak value of a variable A is a property of a single quantum system. Maybe just in the comment, well, what I said, why it's really ridiculous what they say. This 100, which we got in the original paper for spin, was defined by initial and final state, was defined by our system. Not by kind of course, we had spin in between, but the 100 was defined by system. If we wanted, we can put some other angle to put 17 or any other number. In that case, the pre-selection and post-selection could be only two numbers, plus one and minus one. There is no any possibility to get different weak values. So there's no meaning. What they got, it was just a property of a special measuring procedure, not property of a system. So this is why I said it's important that it's a property of a system. Okay. Let's repeat nth time, two-state vector, pre-select psi, post-select phi. In particular time, the system is described by two-state vector. Two-state vector is a complete description of a system in a particular time. Now, the weak value of, we have two variables, and then we have associated weak value, is a complete description of a coupling to this observable at particular time t. This is how I present weak value. To make coupling, we need some interaction. And now, technically, there is kind of problem in this story. I say that weak value is a property, is a description of a coupling. If I put a coupling here, it's not I will not get a pure two-state vector anymore because I will get some entanglement between my system and my other system, whatever. It might be a measuring device or anything outside. So first, I need very tiny coupling, not to make it entanglement, but I need some coupling to find out what is the coupling. So it should be kind of a delicate play of limits. I have to consider very tiny time of coupling, not to spoil my two-state vector, but I need some time to find out what is the interaction. So this is the state of my system, and this is how it changes. This is how the coupling can be discovered, the change of my external system, which is coupled to it through observable C. Maybe now is the proof of the value, because there are so many the result. If we start with our measuring, whatever, external system measuring device, our system psi, and we make infinitesimal time coupling of this type, and post-select on this other system, this will be the state of my system after the interaction. Now, this expression I can make small, since it's dt, very infinitesimally small, I can decompose it. I can divide and multiply by a scalar product, and then realize, oh, this is a weak value. So I can write it again, decompose, and then put it back, but in the form of weak value. And miracle, we get this weak value. This really means that the interaction that the state after it, in the limit, may be exactly equal, but this will be important to see how, what exactly is the limit. So I don't put it exact equality. So this is the evolution of my external system coupled through C. So this, if it will be equality, it's just putting some classical or eigenvalue CW. Okay, so for weak value, for this short coupling, coupling of a system using this Hamiltonian for short time, this is what will be the state of our system after the interaction when we start with this state. Now, for eigenvalue, this we know, this will be exact equality. This is after the interaction for short time with a system in an eigenvalue, it will look this way. And now my question is expectation value behaves the same way? Because now I'm sure that the weak value and eigenvalue are really very, very much the same. I wanted to know if my weak value is like eigenvalue or like expectation value. To have it, the expectation value at least should be the same as this one, otherwise it clearly will be different. Now, to compare, to make a comparison easy, all these numbers can be made equal. So I am considering a situation when the weak value and eigenvalue and expectation value may be prepared from different kind of states, but numerically they all equal. And the question is really the state after the interaction in all these cases is the same. First, it's really almost the same. When we have interaction from infinitesimal time, it will be almost like the initial one. It will be almost like this one. There is no, it looks very, we cannot move to orthogonal state immediately. The change for infinitesimal time will be infinitesimal. From the beginning, all the states, for them, never mind how we couple to weak value, eigenvalue, expectation value, will be more or less the same. So we really have to look on the tiny differences. What we want to say is that the difference between initial state and this state after time dt for eigenstate is really a big difference, because we want to now to compare the others. Is this behave like this, or this behave like this, or which one is more like this? And in fact, this is really a big difference. This one should be smaller to say that it's, if I want to say that my weak value is like eigenvalue, so I wanted this state, it's almost like this, and this is definitely not. If they all more, it will not, I will not make my point. So I will claim that this state coupling to a weak value will be much closer to the eigenvalue than coupling to expectation value. Let me consider maybe an example what kind of claim I want to make. My system is a particle with a charge. My observable is electric field which this particle makes, let's say, at origin. And the simple case, I put my well-localized particle here, and in some units, let's say, the electric field here is just one. The meaning of this, that if for some infinitesimal time, that here it will be a little more than infinitesimal time, if I put some other particle, let's say, of the same charge, it will get momentum which will be shifted. This is really kind of initial momentum, and the wave function in momentum of this other particle will be shifted during this dt. But any, not just momentum, it will be dipole, it will be get angular momentum. Because if I put dipole in electric field, it will try to rotate. Again, well-defined shift. It was initial wave function in momentum. As is, it will be shifted by the amount which we can be calculated. So this will be the final state. So the initial state will be was exactly around zero, and now it will be shifted. Now I have a kind of similar situation. Instead of having exact position, I will put it maybe superposition, half closer and half far away, such that in one case it will be the field will be 1.5, and in another case it will be the field it will be 0.5. The average is the same one. So the expectation value of the field here is 1, but it's now created as a kind of superposition, mixture, whatever. We don't have a well-defined electric field. It's superposition of two values, 0.5 and 1.5, equal average is 1. So now, if we have some, put some particle here for infinitesimal time, we'll put its initial, what we'll have, its distribution, will move differently. One will be moved by 1.5, another by 0.5. So this is, will be the final kind of state. In fact, it is kind of a mixture, but if I want to look in this, the distribution of kind of momentum, it's more, will be more or less the same, although technically it's not, because it's really kind of a mixture, because it's entangled with the position of a particle. But it will be kind of a very close distribution. Now, deliberately, I can start kind of a strange situation with weak values, anomalous weak values, because I put my particle on superposition on the right side, maybe the same kind of 1.5, 0.5, but on the wrong side. So you would say that it should push it this way. But the weak value is sometimes anomalous. Even like I can push one way and the weak value will be another way. So making some pre-selection with some numbers and post-selection with particular numbers, the weak value will be just 1. What really happens? We have our distributions. Let's put it here, put this amplitude, maybe to see it better, because one of them has negative, so the amplitude, they will move not to the right, they will move to the left. But then I have a superposition of them, given particular post-selection, and the superposition after the renormalization will give us again something very similar to this. So the question, which one is more close to the eigenvalue, this one or this one? If this is more close, then you'll say, oh, the weak value is like an eigenvalue. But if this is more or less the same, I cannot say anything of the kind. Okay. So we have these three cases, and we want to consider these tiny differences. And I need to introduce some what is close. I had quantum state. This is, in fact, mixed state. So I need some measure of closeness. I found the Burris angle distance was pretty appealing to me. It was kind of linear in all these cases. So they are cosinus of scalar product between two states. And it also defined for when one of them a mixture, or even two of them a mixture. In this case, only one of them a mixture, because I want to compare this and the eigenvalue. So I with help of my students, made the calculation. And what we got, the first, this is the distance between this state and this state. This is kind of a big distance to what we want to compare. We want to get distance much smaller between this and this. So, and this is given by dt, it's the time of our interaction, and uncertainty of our kind of measuring device, and the eigenvalue. Now, for weak value, the calculation, I'm not sure it's very important, this number can maybe complicated, but what's important, that we start with the first order dt squared. So if the time is infinitesimally small, this is much smaller than this one. And for expectation value, however, what we get, it's again the first order. It's as the distance between this expectation value and this place, it's like between this and this. So it's really very large, infinitely larger than this one if dt is infinitesimal. So we wanted to make this experimentally. The experiment which I presented was kind of difficult. So we wanted to, the experiment essentially which we made, or at least kind of demonstrated was spin one experiment, in which eigenvalue was zero, kind of simple case. Expectation value was also zero because one minus one. And the weak value was also zero in very kind of reselection case, very simple case, which we start with the same with this state and end up with the same state, made a post-selection of the same state again. But now it's weak value. When we make a post-selection, it's a weak value. Here it's just expectation value, here it's a weak value. And we wanted to consider the coupling in all the three cases. This case is kind of simple, no coupling, essentially. These two others. Now, we have all weak value, eigenvalue, expectation value, they all equal zero. One will kind of move. In this case, it doesn't move at all because it doesn't move. In this case, we have the superposition. So we have this mixture, shifted to the right, shifted to the left, but entangled with the spin. This is our row. And in our case, we have this again, but now it's a pure state. We have this mixture post-selected of minus one plus one, so we'll get this superposition of two Gaussians. So again, this is not exactly this one. This is different, but they're all more, for DT is small, they're all more or less the same. And we wanted to see which one is closer experimentally. Now, we also cannot make experiment with spin one. What we can do, we can make experiment with light, polarization. So instead of spin one, we kind of made imitation of experiment of spin one using measuring of polarization operator of light. So minus one was horizontal. That plus one vertical, and zero, there is no zero, but it's kind of, we mimic it by not coupling. Because in zero, nothing happens, so we can mimic it by not coupling. Polarization, this is our polarization operator. So again, no coupling, this is kind of zero. This is make a coupling and then look on measure polarization. This is, again, it's supposed to be zero. But average is zero. But the state slightly changed. Coupling is slightly different. And also we make post-selection. So we want to compare between this mixture and this pure state. We want to compare them to this state. How we can compare? The averages in all cases, it's zero. We didn't try to see it. Many other experiments saw that the weak values work properly, the average weak value sits down where it's supposed to be. And here it's very symmetric, it's clear. What we are claiming is that the state itself disturbs differently. So we want to see how much, what is the difference between this state and this state, or this state and this state. How we can see the differences between this. We have a beam. This is kind of a reference beam, and this is other beams, and we want to see the difference. What I found the best way to see the difference, try to interfere them. If they're identical, they're supposed to show visibility one. If they're not identical, visibility goes down. So this is what we did. We have our beam, laser, and in one arm we didn't do anything. This is our beam, this is our reference beam. In other one, we made the coupling. The coupling was birefringent material, which make tiny shift of the beam. We also kind of make a graph because we rotate our crystal, so we see what will be the dependence, what happened when we increase essentially dt, but our coupling was like dt. We could change dt by rotating our crystal. So we see visibility. The distance is connected very simply to visibility, so just make our cost of visibility give us a distance which this is what we wanted to know. So we want one experiment when we put just our measurement, and another experiment when we edit a post selection. So in one experiment we could test this one, and another, and here is this one, and these are preliminary results. Again, after long work, in fact, I was the visibility came almost up to 99%, but still, this 1% has nothing to do with the experiment. There are all kind of other imperfections. And now, this is GIEPS, this is really our DT, our strength of interaction. So we see that when we looked on the weak value, visibility essentially didn't change. So we didn't, and the red one, it's this expectation value. Now, we could, in this case, we just put the distance supposed to go linearly with dt. Here it's supposed to go quadratically with dt. So it's really in this range which we made the experiment, it was not supposed to go down. We didn't see, of course, the precision was not good enough to see this dependence. But we have seen that it's really doesn't go down. And this one does go down. So we can make we can look if it goes down properly or not. We can look, can check this functional dependence. And when we look on put our cosinus of visibility, again, this is a theoretical line, and this is a points which were observed. And they're still working on the system, hoping that it will work somewhat better. So let me put our conclusions, which may be essentially many times the same statement. Weak value is a property of a single and pre-and-post selected system. It is not a property of a measuring procedure, as in the people who attack us. An ensemble is needed only to test that it is true. I believe that there is a real thing. When I have a coupling, my pointer, whatever, shift as if it is an eigenvalue. Now, how I can, even I have an eigenvalue, and I know it's shifted, I know exactly what's happened in eigenvalue, but if I want to test it, I need an ensemble. So also in this case, I need an ensemble. And pre and post selected system interacts with external system during infinitesimal time as if the weak value is an eigenvalue. Again, it's not 100% true, it's in the limit. But I can compare this with some other expectation value, which also suppose on average it behaves the same way, but the limits are very different. Here's the difference between this case and this case is really, we have seen it first in formulas and second in laboratory. This is significantly different from coupling of pre-selected only system with expectation value equal to the weak value. So weak value of an observable at time t represents an effective coupling to this observable during infinitesimal time. And infinitesimal time, it's clear why infinitesimal time. It's longer time, things became dirty. It's not exactly two-state vector. I want two-state vector. I'm not supposed to entangle it with something else. So this is the meaning of weak value in a particular time. Thank you.
I'd like to follow up on a comment you made yesterday about representative, because you said it was what you would do is orthogonal to, in some sense, to what I was doing. And I don't see it's orthogonal. I see it's
orthogonal presentation.
Oh, okay.
And I said that in the. Yeah. I don't think that the kind of.
Yeah,
because. The message, I'm not sure, is different. The way to present it was very orthogonal. In UA, you had all these probabilities and whatever. Everything was probabilities. I never mentioned word probability.
Because I would like to complement what you're saying with some things I discussed yesterday. And it's the fact that when you go beyond this limit of the very sharp variable that couples in the Hamiltonian, okay, that you can still understand, you can then understand the expectation value of the pointer as an average of weak values. So you do have this picture where in this very definite sharp limit, you have an absolutely definite quantity. And then if you go beyond it, you're actually sampling different values. So I'm actually trying to complement what you're saying.
I agree.
You can extend it outside that range, and then you can And then you can start making averages out of these well-defined physical quantities that we call weak values.
I agree with you except the word average. I would prefer, if I have a long time, if I have an interaction for a period of time, what I would like to do is to go to any infinitesimal time, somehow to find out what is exactly the weak value, and then to know how it couples. And in the paper which we are writing, we're trying to do this, but it's really problematic when you have a system. If you have, even we have a composite system, we can calculate the weak value of a part of it every time. But if they are coupling to each other, it's not easy to separate. I say that every time, even there is a coupling, if there is a coupling and every moment I can calculate what is the weak value, the meaning of this, that if something else couples weakly to it, it couples according to this meaning. But if I'm trying to analyze my measuring procedure, it's problematic, maybe then. And again, I would prefer to avoid averages if I can.
But that would be a little bit my comment, that you cannot quite get around that. What you did here is very interesting, but you didn't fully analyze what the differences between the pointer distributions really mean. And that is actually a very tricky issue, because in some degree I agree with you, but weak values have one property that you didn't discuss here that actually creates a bit of a problem, and that is that take the weak value of C square and compare that with the weak value of C, you know what happens. So I think that there's still unanswered questions here that are just being a little bit pushed under the rug.
Now, I had to mention, and the paper definitely I mentioned, there is a difference between weak value and eigenvalue. If eigenvalue of A equals 3, then eigenvalue of A to the third is 9. Yes. But weak value of A to the third is not weak value, is not the third power of weak value. So there is this difference. But even if I have a coupling to A to the third, it will be definite coupling, as if I have an eigenvalue of A to the third. So the weak value is for everyone is the coupling. Weak value will have a different for a square and a to the third, but for every operator, for a to the third, will be a different weak value, as if the this eigenvalue.
There's some other physics still going on
there. There's a question from Robert back.
Hello. I was wondering if you can help explain to me your response to the second paper by Combs and Ferry. Could you go back to that slide? I had a question about that.
I'm not sure.
What about the coin flip?
Well, yeah, I understand. It's I don't know, maybe it's just it's a kind of brute force. I will try to talk until I'll going there.
In reversal.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it wasn't. I had to do maybe a better method. The point.
My question yeah. was: you argued that the difference between their exposition and yours case was that they considered a single reimposed selection, whereas in the quantum case you can consider many different post selections, and in particular you said, for different post-selections, the weak value will be different. So you could get 100 or 17. And I failed to see why that establishes that it's a property of a single quantum system. So can you clarify why that should persuade me that it's a property of a single quantum system? If anything, the fact that the weak value changes as I change the post-selection makes me think that it's not a property of the system. It's a property, it's what I can infer based on that post-selection. So I was just wondering if you could clarify that argument.
No, the argument that the weak value is a property of a system, I gave the whole talk, I have to persuade, it's not, this was argument against them. Because it's impossible to get, they want to play with our paper, our paper had 100. So they put this in the title, this 100 heads. But so they had to get this number 100, given their experiment in which they put some pre-selection and post-selection. But in their pre- and post-selection, they had only 4 possible options. I have many options. I can put my psi whatever I want. I have the whole block sphere and another block sphere. They had only four options. So if they wanted to say that they get 100, depending it's kind of a property of a system, or it's not on a measuring device. What I'm trying to say is that what they, that their result must be a property of a measuring device. And this, the sigma x equal 100 is not a property of a measuring device. Whatever measuring device you use, you always will get this 100. It's universal. You can couple to a birefringent material. You can couple to some molecule which rotate. Whatever you'll do, it's not a property of your measuring device. And in that case, it must be a property of measuring device because the system was too poor to have enough values to get different numbers. So this was again, doesn't prove my point. Proves that their point cannot be true. Yeah, you don't. Because they had only four options for pre-selection and post-selection in their classical coin.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me that this seems like familiar territory. That, you know, on the one hand, you could say, well, here's a model not of the full quantum phenomenology involving all possible pre- and post-selections, but just a limited set of the quantum phenomenology that's supposed to show that the features that were supposed to be characteristic can be reproduced in a classical context. To then say, oh, but there's these other features that can't be reproduced. That may be progress, but it suggests that the original features that were pointed to weren't sufficient to establish what's really quantum. So is your point that, okay, yes, maybe if the pre and post selections are very limited, then the whole thing has a classical analog, but if you consider the full set of pre and post selections, that's what's difficult to explain classically?
Yes.
Is that your claim?
I'm not sure. But I would say that if they will find a model with a classical pointer starting here or there, and depending on the classical angle, then some classical other variable they have this vague measurement of the direction. So, if they can put a classical pointer, this kind of make a classical uncertain measurement, they will get 100. Then I will not have this objection. Then maybe that they can, you know. Everything, no one knows that everything is true. So they want to try to refute, to say that it's statistical property. But they have to make some functionally similar. What we found, we start with some initial state, final state, and this, given this, we say for any kind of measurement, we get something. And they didn't found any parallel to this. This doesn't look similar. They said, okay, we have the same, essentially, they had one pre-selection, post-selection, and they put something in between. It's a completely different story. So how they can say that it's similar to our story? In our story, what's changing, what's made 100 is this psi and phi. In their story, what's made 100 is the type of coupling they do. So it's a completely different situation. So they cannot say that it's completely misleading title because they're trying to say there is analogy. There is no analogy because the situation is different. Okay, I don't say maybe there is a classical, but it's a legitimate proposal. But then find the classical system which will mimic our result. Find something that put classical pointer like this and get 100. It's okay. I will look on it. On this one, doesn't have to read the paper because from the beginning it has nothing to do with this setup.
So I just have a comment, which is I think these sorts of disputes, the way to settle them, what I would like to see is an articulation of some principles of classicality. So for me, details of the experimental setup are not interesting. I want to know is in effect quantum or classical. And I don't care about the details of the setup. I'd like to hear what principles of classicality are at stake. So if the claim is there's certain principles of classicality that are violated by this experiment, I would like you to see you prove a theorem that says, here are my principles of classicality, here are the quantum predictions, here's my rigorous theorem that those principles of classicality are violated. Then we wouldn't have to, you know, wait for somebody to come along and give us a new classical model of this new thing. So anyways, that's my request. So please, can I see the theorem and which principle of classicality you have in mind?
We have that proof.
But first, there is a paper kind of saying why it's quantum interference. There are many replies to comments. Some of them were published. Some of them, in fact, my ex-student was the only one who succeeded to publish comment on this. On this, but from my point of view, it was pretty problematic. What the PRL likes technical errors. So he pointed out that when they calculated classically, they made some technical error. But what they had to reply, and they didn't reply this way, but they will be very effective reply. Sure, of course, it's crazy how you can from minus one and plus one to get 100. Definitely we made an error, but it's the same error which Aaron Albert Weidman did. So this is, do you want me now to defend? I don't know, I believe everything is quantum. I think it's your job to find if can we explain it classically.
Hang on, you say, I believe everything is quantum. I just think if you want to persuade me that something's quantum, tell me in what sense it's quantum. Give me the principle of classicality that it violates. That's all I'm asking. I think it would be a more fruitful discussion.
Entanglement, interference, I know.
Entanglement, interference, if you just say there's entanglement, interference, that proves non-classicality. I disagree. That those are mathematical objects in a Hilbert space, in entangled states. To say whether there's a classical model of a particular entangled state or not is a non-trivial question. So Matt pointed that in. So one thing I would agree with is that if you model your principle of classicality as non-contextuality, then you can show that anomalous weak values violate that.
First person did it, but they didn't tell me anything. I don't know.
We should probably close this discussion here because it can go on for and we have lunch to go to. So let's thank Lev and all the speakers from this session.